Welcome to Waveframe.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Waveframe podcast. We are back to talk about specifically music today. We talk about music and movies, but today we're talking about music. My name is Luke.
And my name is Isaac. And we haven't done music in a while.
A really long time.
This is good. This is refreshing. We're talking about Blue Weekend, which is a Wolf Alice album. Mm-hmm. Came out recently, like 2018.
Yeah, 2021. So very recent. It's a young baby.
Yes. And we actually went to their concert.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun to maybe put some of those elements in it. You invited us, and I had listened to one or two of their songs, and then we went to their concert, and I really enjoyed their concert, which made me go to more to their music and discography. So I'm excited to talk about it today. This is your baby. Facebook gave you a gift, right?
Yeah, well, and this one was YouTube. This was the YouTube algorithm.
Oh,
so,
gotcha.
You know, I spend a fair amount of time sometimes browsing just live studio performances. Not just live performances, but like when a band gets in the studio, then they have a good video quality of that and such. And this came up then suggested for me. It was like Wolf Alice Smile from the something something sessions, but it's just a few songs from this album that they're doing live. And I was just blown away instantly. And I'm like, I gotta check this out. Yeah. So that was my introduction into them. This is their third album. Their first one came out, I think, in about 2016 was about when it came out. So they've been around for a couple years now, and they've got a very loyal fan base and people who are like, this is the next big band of our generation. But
wow.
But also, like, everybody says that, but like, they have people that love them, and they're well regarded in circles. They're from England. So I was really happy with what YouTube offered me, and I've been enjoying, after spending a lot of time with this album specifically, spent some time now with the other albums that they have as well, and they've just got so much great content and a great energy as a group. So
fantastic. Before we dive into the whole Blue Weekend album, I'm going to just do some plugs to get them out of the way.
Nice.
Waveframe Pod, that's our Instagram page. We got a lot of fun, different stuff on there. We'll be posting some Blue Weekend stuff. Luke might have a cover of a song.
Yeah, you want to check it out.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
Like, it's probably something you want to do.
Uh-huh. And in our Obi-Wan Kenobi episode, which you should listen to, I mentioned that Luke is working on his album. He's finishing that up in the relative upcoming months. It's called Lin.TheBoy on Instagram, so you can follow him with that.
I'm trying to write a song right now that's a lot happier, and then the world kind of went to poop, it seems like, in the past couple weeks. So got a little stalled.
Yeah. There was that meme about, like, 50 years of bad stuff happened in one week. So I'm depressed. But we also, let's see, what else should we plug? Give us a 5-star review.
We always plug the 5 stars.
Amazing.
The beefy
5-layer.
Say it with us.
Star review.
Beefy 5-star review.
If you write us a little typed out review, we'll read it here on the pod. So if you want to have your 15 minutes or 15 seconds of fame, just do that.
And we might just give you a smooch, too, while we're at it.
Yeah, if you come to one of our houses, we'll give you a smooch. Yeah. A consensual smooch.
If it's up to you, it's up to you.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think that's all the things we usually plug, right?
Yeah.
We have other Star Wars episodes, and so this is a fun way for us to branch away from Star Wars for a little bit, take a nice reprieve, and dive into this 2021 album.
Absolutely.
First off, I want to say that The album, in my opinion, has a really interesting beginning and end, because it's a bookend of sorts. You got Beach, and then you got Beach 2, which ends. And I thought Beach 2 would be a little bit more similar to Beach, or the original Beach. But I like both of them, and I guess what I'm trying to get at is I like the beginning of this album, and I really like the end of this album. So I feel like it's got a great framing/storytelling element to it. And if you go on Spotify, they, as a band, are really intentional about, like, giving you those extra things at the bottom where it's almost like an Instagram story on Spotify where they talk about the storytelling of the album. Have you checked that out?
I haven't even looked at that.
You
haven't? That's awesome. No.
You have to. It's really good. So she, like, tells a story of, like, the vibes are kind of strong here. You know, she mm-hmm. tells like a little bit more about what's maybe happening in this album.
Oh, you'll love that.
You got to check it out. It's really cool.
There's something to be said for, you know, for artists leaving things up to your interpretation a little bit, but also it's really nice when they tell you some stuff about what they're writing about lyrically. And to me, it enhances the experience a lot. So yeah, that's awesome.
Same. And I like artists who are like, hey, if you have a different interpretation, great. That's awesome. You know, like once you release something, a lot of artists, even filmmakers, are like, it's no longer mine, quote unquote. It's everyone's.
Yeah.
So I think that's a beautiful thing. What is a synopsis of the story of this album from your point of view, not having seen those beat by beat from the band?
Yeah, well, for me, it's a very relational album and interwoven album with experiences with other people and with different locations. That's what it seems like to me. And mm-hmm. and especially, yeah, you mentioned in the early songs, like in Delicious Things, like it seems like, you know, I Can't Believe a Girl Like Me's in Los Angeles, I yes. think is one of the, or Los Angeles, she rhymes yes, she yes. rhymes it nicely. So like it's this almost, it feels to me with that LA, you think stardom and it's a band.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you know, it immediately puts you right there in the shoes of, like,
and she mentions Marilyn Monroe
yeah,
and like
yeah.
Poppin' Pills.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Hollywood vibe,
the Hollywood
is strong.
The themes, and then meeting like kind of creepy guys yeah. and stuff, and then yeah, a lot of the other ones are, you know, Smile, it seems, is about others' interpretations of her, mm-hmm. and something that yeah, every female, especially if you're a rock maybe group
oh, yeah.
with more and like some energy and maybe a bit of a harder edge, sometimes people are going to perceive that different ways and not always positively.
And she says that a word they use to describe her is sensitive, and mm-hmm. she's like, that fits me perfectly. Mm-hmm. And yet the song doesn't feel
no,
sensitive
no.
in its tone and mm-hmm. mood. So mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, lot. I mean, Safe from Heartbreak, If You Never Fall in Love, obviously, like, there's a, you know, some very
breakups are hard.
Breakups are hard. Love song, because the next one is How Can I Make It Okay? She just wants someone to be happy, she's saying.
Yeah,
relatable, you know,
for everyone.
Feeling Myself is moving out of a relationship and finding the peace and, you know, in that self-empowerment element.
We love that double entendre.
Yeah. Yeah, take it how you will.
Yep.
The music fits both moods very well, however you want to interpret
I agree.
It.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, No Hard Feelings, right before you come to the conclusion of The Beach 2. That's you come to a place of closure,
yeah.
and it's a really beautiful song and a really good space. So
it's like preparing yourself for the next time you see them.
Yeah.
Like your mind space,
yeah.
your head space.
I feel if it's a similar, and I don't know the song as well as you, but I know you've talked about Scott Street before by
mm-hmm.
Phoebe Bridgers, and that's a moving on song
mm-hmm.
in a way. And then meeting like an ex for the first time after seeing them. And it feels similar in some ways, not every, but you know, you talked about how this album is so nicely bookended. And immediately when I was looking at the track list after looking at it, you know, that immediately catches, you know, for you and me and our interests, like
mm-hmm.
something like that definitely is an eye catcher and like,
yeah.
ooh, yes.
Yes.
We love a good intentional yeah. album. You're yes. like, you know, going through some of our favorite albums or ones that we've done, you know, things about, like First Days of Spring by Noel the Whale is a totally narrative album, something like that. Something like Tremendous Sea of Love is definitely this progression of an album coming through different waves of emotion, landing
mm-hmm.
in a place where you think you can kind of dissect it all,
mm-hmm.
but you're still in it. So definitely something that is right up our alley, I
totally.
Think, content-wise.
And it's one of the elements I love most in storytelling, whether that's TV, movies, or albums, is that you have a character arc. You know, you end the album in a way different place than you started the
mm-hmm.
album,
mm-hmm.
which is really, really cool. Yeah, so, I mean, in my mind, it seems like she's the main character of this. The lead singer, I don't know her name, is the main
yeah, Ellie.
Character. Mm-hmm. Oh, cool, Ellie. And so, just for my frame of reference, do you know much about the other band members and what they bring to the table? Or are they more interchangeable, like
yeah.
some bands?
Yeah, that's a great question. And they are all quite involved, from my perception.
That's
at
awesome.
Least. There are four
yeah.
of them. And it's funny, when they won a Mercury Prize for one of their songs, Don't Delete the Kisses, which is on the previous album.
A great song.
And yeah, it yeah. is. And in their acceptance speech, I think it's Theo is the bassist, and her and Joff, the guitarist, started this
group. Is he the British guy who's like intense?
That the bassist is Theo. That's
okay,
him.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, yeah, you brought the energy live.
He did.
Yeah, unfortunately, Joff, the lead guitarist, who's fantastic, he was not on the
okay.
tour that we saw.
Okay.
They had a fill-in guitarist who did a great job, but Theo kind of starts talking about the acceptance speech, and he's like, yeah, like, you know, here we are, it's amazing, and this agent told us when we first were trying to get signed that we all, like, who are we? All like different music, we all looked different, like we didn't fit together, like we never make it somewhere. And they give him a nice FU with their acceptance speech. Yeah. But
they say the full name of their agent. They're like, go dox this guy.
So it's really fun to see all their influences, and they talk about that because you get that in the musicality of this album. And another reason why I love this so much is it is so diverse in its stylistic influences.
Yes.
And they're very rock based. Definitely. That's the, the hard line, but like you've got more hardcore stuff. You've got some folk stuff.
Yes.
And they will say that each of them, I forget who is each one, but I read an article where each of them is talking about, yeah, Theo likes this. Like the drummer likes this. Joff likes this. And they all take it together
it works.
So amazingly. It works. There's something for everybody.
Yeah. I wrote that down. I was like, the versatility of this band is one of my favorite things.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Because the concert we went to is very much a rock-based concert, and we had some characters there who leaned into that hardcore. But the band handled that really well. And even though they're super like hardcore in some of their songs, they're not going to be unkind or encourage rowdiness. Mm-hmm. They're going to encourage passion, and they want to channel that. So the fact that this album doesn't feel disjointed is a real credit to them.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what?
You're absolutely right.
It's so cool.
It is amazing because you go from, you know, this album, I would break it down to it starts with a more indie edge.
Yeah.
It starts to
like atmospheric.
Atmospheric, very much. Yeah, that's a good word. It starts to transition a bit more into a rock place, but then you get some different ballads with some different styles. There's both folk and then just more traditional, like ballady type songs. But there's also interspersed there with those really like a song like Play the Greatest Hits. Which
might be one of my least favorite songs.
That's the thing. It's one of my favorite. I love it so much. And you're transitioning from a ballad, like How Do I Make It Okay, into that. And then instantly she's on the vert, you know, she's practically screaming as the guitars are just slamming. Yeah. And that's the song where some people started trying to choke each other at the concert we were at.
Yes, not cool.
Not cool.
Yeah, they
not
like cool. body slammed one of our members that we went with.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said members. Our party
group. One of our friends.
Yeah, one of our friends.
So, but to what you said earlier, you know, the energy that they have is so wholesome, and there's a bit of that renegade energy, you know, they're just doing it, they're having fun, they're energetic, but they're passionate about what they do, but it's a very holistic, wholesome experience at the same time. So, you know, they stopped the song, they made sure it got all cleared up, and then you know, they got going again and had a good time with it. But
and they heavily like said, like, you can't be here if you're gonna do this show, which is awesome. And I don't want to say that Play the Greatest Hits is a bad song. I've been trying to be more positive about my experiences with art and say things like, it wasn't for me at the time, or I wasn't in the mood for it. Not because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. It's just because I want to leave myself open to, like, I did not like that movie when I watched it. But 5 years from now, who knows what I'm going to think about Phantom Thread by Paul Thomas Anderson.
Beautiful mentality. Well, and that's the beauty, I think, for such a versatile album like this, then. What it does so well is it's a gateway album in a lot of ways to so many other things. Because let's say you come for like the how can I make it okay?
Yes.
And then, you know, that gives you some taste, or you come for Smile and you really like the vocal bursts of the chorus that are so angelic. Yeah. But then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, I'm listening to the song and this riff in the verse is like pretty sick. And then that leads you into something like Play the Greatest Hits. And before you know it, you're a hardcore metal fan, you know? Like,
is you, right?
A little bit, you know, I definitely had some of a baseline coming into it. Like right away, I'm like, oh yeah, this is my stuff. Like, so Smile was the first song I heard on that YouTube session. And it's interesting because I think, you know, you talked about how much you liked the beginning and the ending of it. And I agree thematically, stylistically, I think the middle is where this album really hits its stride.
Mm.
And that's what draws me in. I think that if you would have started playing this album for me, you're like, hey, check out this album, Blue Weekend.
Yeah.
And you started playing it from the beginning, I would have been like, what is this? Like, I'm not into it. It's kind of wishy-washy.
Yeah.
It's because of that very like indie atmospheric at the beginning. Not my initial
favorite.
That's
the thing that kind of grabs me.
Yeah. It's so funny.
Yeah.
And it didn't grab me. So one, it wouldn't have grabbed me for that reason. I think the other reason is, it's interesting, the live I mean, always live and studio can be mixed very differently.
Mm-hmm.
And in the studio versions of these songs on the album, it's a lot more layered vocals. It's a lot more busy and it's a lot more crowded, it feels like. And almost what drew me in was the quality of Ali, specifically the vocalist, her vocals that were very isolated and singular in the live recordings.
So you'd say they were good at mixing.
I would say that they mix them in a way that's different in the album than they did in the live. And I'd be almost more drawn to the live.
I liked the live almost better. I wrote that down.
Yeah.
And they started off with Smile, mm-hmm. which really grabbed you by, like, it's like almost like you're wearing like overalls and they like grab both of them and they're like just going to swing you in there.
Well, that's definitely, if you haven't listened to Wolf Alice before, that's a great one to start with. Yes. That gives an overall representation of them. So I think that, you know, and they do it very well to create these atmospheric layers. And, you know, in their other albums too, that's where they come from, with songs off of their first album, like Your Love's Whore has incredible atmospheric vocals. And it's because they layer them so nicely and they double them, they pan them to different things. Like, you can hear, like, that's a technique that a lot of people use. Like, Snow Patrol started using that more recently. I mean, most indie people do. Sufjan Stevens with Carrie and Lowell did that. You know, it's a very specific, nice element, but also it can be a crutch to hide behind a little bit. So what grabbed me about the isolated vocal nature of the live performances is that it proved, like, okay, these guys are good and they can lock this down live. So that's what's impressive to me.
Yeah.
And thankfully, so I've been very thrilled. They released an EP now that's called Blue Lullaby, that's kind of reworked versions of these songs with different symphonic elements or stripped back. It's not just like acoustic versions, but truly alternate versions. Yeah. And they are, it's less layered vocals and you get more pieces of that. And I think it's them just proving how good they really are in terms of the quality of their ability musically.
Yeah, usually quote unquote B-sides or like renditions or remixes are not like something I go back to a lot, but the Lullaby EP is really good, really quality stuff. And it's almost like they gave you, if you're in a little bit more of an intense mood, just listen to the album. If you want to just do the dishes, listen to the Lullaby EP. And it's like, okay.
Depends on how hard you want to be scrubbing the dishes.
Totally, yeah. If you have cheese that wasn't soaking, then you got to listen to the album. But if you've just got, like, I don't know, carrots and ranch on that, then you can listen to the Lullaby. I was gonna say that she specifically, through the lyrics and through the live performance, it seemed like she had a really, really awesome confidence in herself, and yet she's not afraid to sing about vulnerability. And it's really fun to see her, I don't know, just really own it and feel like she's the leader. It didn't feel like other people were the leader. And I think that's cool for a band where she's the only female, right? I was like, okay, these guys have a lot of respect for her, and that came across well in the live performance, which is really cool.
Well, and they're all relatively young too. Like, they're about our age, mid-20s, because they started, I think she was 15 when they released their first album.
Wow.
I could have that wrong, but they were very young, so.
Yeah. You know. That's great. I thought it was funny. I'm just going to jump around here. Absolutely. I thought it was funny at the end of the album. A lot of the last like three songs feel like they could be the finale song. Mm-hmm. They could be the closing song. So I was like, wow, this is like Return of the King. There's a lot of endings here. But it didn't detract from it for me. And then, yeah, I was going to talk about some of our concert experiences, except you brought up the big guys choking each other. They had murder in their eyes. Seriously. It was
big M for those of you Gary Schmidt fans out there.
There you go. There's so many of those. We also had some guy just yelling behind us for a few songs, and that almost was louder than the actual music.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
And I hated that man. In that moment.
So if you're listening to this, big Wolf Alice fan out there is like, oh sweet, a podcast on it. Oh, I was at the intersection for the Wolf Alice concert and I was yelling. Yeah, just know we hate you.
And I wanted to hear about your thoughts on Beach 2, because I think I prefer the first Beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first Beach is definitely a opener in the tone that it's setting. It's building, it's anticipatory, and it's just kind of, it's very straight in its rhythm, so you hear it just building and chunking along like a train gathering momentum, and then it sets you up to then go into the album.
Yeah.
On the back side, I believe I like the second one better, and it's a lot more it's conclusory, a word? That's, you know what I'm trying to say?
Might be conclusionary, yeah. but that sounds better.
Conclusionary. It's a lot more conclusionary. It gives the space to breathe as well. And there are moments where I think the instruments drop out, where it does it nicely. And it does feel, at the beginning, it's almost like these, you know, these crashing waves, if you're mm-hmm. going to dive into that beach metaphor. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, it's almost that you're lost in these swells mm. of like a baptism of sorts. Nice. Is how I would juxtapose the two.
Nice. That's great.
What about you?
I have to give more intentional listens to Beach 2, because I feel like Beach 1's maybe just more approachable, and because you start the album more than you end the album, mm-hmm. if you're like me, then I think it's just on surface level a little bit more approachable. But for me, I'm a sucker for a stripped down ending song, and so then No Hard Feelings to me feels mm-hmm. like a sense of finality. Mm-hmm. And then the Beach 2 for me is like, and not quite as much as what I'm about to say, but kind of like Billy Bibbit from Sanfermine's mm-hmm. album, Jackrabbit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like I didn't want that. Like, yeah. Sure, it's fine.
It's
but
a good song. Yeah. It's just like, could
have
like, ended.
You didn't
with
have
no
to tack
feeling.
That on. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think I need to revisit it more. Oh, yeah. No. But that's the great thing about this album, is that because it's so diverse, it's not boring.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't know. It's just, it also makes you curious about their other discography, which has been a real pleasure to mm-hmm. really get into, like Don't Delete the Kisses mm-hmm. or what's that album where it's all sparkly and there's bros?
My Love is Cool is the name of
yeah,
that album.
What yeah, what a fun yeah. name for an album. What a fun album. So
and all of
yeah.
those, they have, you see the common threads and roots, but each of those have songs too that are totally different than this album. Something like Don't Delete the Kisses, which is one of their most famous songs, is quite different. And then something like Swallowtail from their first album is very, very different mm-hmm. as well. So it's really fun to see them. They're just pursuing what they want mm-hmm. and they're not worried too much about their, you know, yeah. what vibe they're giving off. They're just there to have fun and to pursue passionately what they're doing.
They make me feel bad about the job I have. It's like, oh crap. It feels like they have so much integrity.
Mm.
Whereas mm-hmm. like a lot of jobs are working for a corporation, a company, a system, an institution. Mm-hmm. Feels like they are in a very, I don't know if wholesome is the right word. You mentioned that earlier. But in a very cool, like representable, respectful way, pushing against the system. Mm-hmm. Really leaning into like what makes life worth living. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you love to see that.
You love it. Yes, you love to see that. Yeah.
So I would recommend, if you know, if you're interested in, or if you've listened to some of the studio stuff and you're looking for some more, you know, the Pool Sessions is the name of those YouTube videos that I was talking about, specifically How Can I Make It Okay. You get to hear her belt on the second half of that
awesome.
Song. It is fantastic.
That's great.
So listen to that. It's fun. No Hard Feelings. There aren't a lot of live versions out there of it, but it's fun because that song is driven by bass guitar and it sounds like it could be just normal electric otherwise. And that's just fun when you electric guitar, or when a bass guitar is playing chords and it's driving the song. So that's really fun.
Luke plays the bass.
I do play the bass guitar. So you love to see that.
Yeah. Is that the one where she just like sat down and sang?
They did.
It?
So they did it with just piano, more similar to the Lullaby version that was just released at the live concert, which was beautiful.
Very beautiful.
And it also makes sense because actually, instead of Theo, the bassist, playing the bass on that one, because it is more similar to the way a guitar would work and the chord structure and such, it's actually Joff, the electric player, who does play the bass on that song, it looks like, when they do it live.
Nice.
Is from what I've seen. So
yeah.
Another thing that I need to check out, so I've only seen part of it. I saw it as it was debuting, so I couldn't like skip around on the video. But on YouTube, there is a full video for the full album of Blue Weekend, and it's almost like a music video just all the way through, however long, 40 minutes or so.
Very
long.
Interesting.
That, and it seems to tell a bit of a narrative from the bit that I was seeing. I was watching it right around the How Can I Make It Okay, Play the Greatest Hits, and then I caught a little bit of The Beach 2 as well on the way out. So if you're into something more cinematic like that, again, that's something that we talked about First Days of Spring earlier. That's something that they did for that album. It's these narrative-based albums that's really something cool to do and enhance the experience for the listener.
Speaking of that runtime, what a great length for an album.
Yeah, not too long.
45 minutes-ish.
Beautiful.
That's great.
Yeah. And they really squeeze you for your money's worth with all that they're giving you.
For sure. It's like a movie that's an hour and a half. You're like, oh, nice. Especially a really good movie. Tight 90 minutes. Ooh, yeah. Ooh. That's great. I don't have much more to say.
No, I think that that's it. I think that, you know, we're, Isaac and I are both in the process. We're ranking our top 16 albums right now at this point in our life, like we do every now and then. And I think, you know, this one is from this past year. I've gotten into it, and I have no doubt it's going to be in my top 16. Of course, it's tough to say 4 years from now when I do this again if it still will be, but I really think it will.
Really?
I just think this album took me by storm. Yeah. And Wolf Alice, I'd put them in one of my top five artists right now that I'm really enjoying. It's just, they're a fantastic group that I really enjoy, so I cannot recommend them enough.
Yeah, and if you feel inspired to put your top 16 together, it's a fun thing to do, and it gives you a little bit more freedom than that conventional top 10. How did you get to the number 16 again? Oh yeah, just the mug.
So a little fun fact, so I got a mug from a free snapfish mug from McDonald's Monopoly when they were doing that. I peeled off the sticker and said free snapfish mug, and I'm like, where am I gonna get it? You can put 16 photos on it and they have to be squares, so I'm like, where am I gonna get 16 square photos from? So I'm like, let's just do album art. So I did that, and then that kind of inspired it. 4 years later, I said, let's do it again.
Yeah,
Isaac was very gracious, and he actually then surprised me with a mug of than those 16 albums. So I have two mugs from the past two times I've done this. So don't worry, no pressure to make me another mug this time.
Yeah, and you said you wanted it to be white and then black and white and then black, right?
Yeah, no? You know, I don't remember that, but that seems fitting.
Well, I mean, I was like, well, it'd be fun to have a different base color for each one, but it also depends on like what albums you're choosing, because like Jackrabbit would like looked really good with that black.
Yeah.
And also I feel like you gotta have a mug for each one.
Yeah,
so if you're not gonna do it, I'm gonna do it.
all right maybe we can each get one for each other.
There you go. That's the same thing as just buying our own, but it feels cooler. Yeah, so top track off this album,
I think it's gotta be, well, that's a hard question. I said this earlier, but as a recommendation of just an incredible song, I think, for anybody to approach, I think Smile is a great one
totally
to get into.
Agree.
But again, closely followed by How Can I Make It Okay is a more ballady one that is just also phenomenal. So I think, you know, both of those two, I'm going to cheat and pick two.
Yeah, and check out their Spotify story below the like stories they put up, because those are really cool to look at. How Can I Make It Okay? I think I preferred it live than their studio album. I think for me, my favorite one is maybe Delicious Things.
Wow.
Wait, is that the one where she says, I won't say no?
Yep.
Give it a go.
Uh-huh.
I like that.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, she says that, like, if you ask me if I'm from here, I won't say no. It's like, okay, have fun.
You're just an LA boy, Isaac, aren't you? Deep down.
No. But also, like, it's hilarious because they're from, England?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, obviously, she's not from LA in the accent. Oh, man. But that's the cool thing about this album, is that it's really hard to pick a favorite. And the album art is dope.
Fits it very well.
Really good. Yep. So that's Blue Weekend by Wolf Alice. Go see him live. Go check out all those little extra things. Listen to the album, and anything you want to plug here?
No, I don't think so. I think I recommended the things I wanted to go forward. So YouTube is always a wealth of treasure.
Oh, yeah.
Treasure trove.
That's what everybody says. Yeah. You should get premium. You'll never go back. Dude, ads suck. Now I look at the video and you can see where the ads would be.
Wow.
And it's a sense of euphoria. Wow. You just can't get anywhere else. Because some long videos, I watch a lot of long videos, they'll have like an ad every 6 to 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like 20 ads. So it's like, holy crap. So
you save so much time.
You do. It's totally worth it.
See world.
Yeah, see world. Save time.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for spending your time listening to us yammer on.
Yes.
We appreciate it when you listen, so thanks for doing that. We're having a good time doing this. So.
Oh, of course. And it was great on our Instagram to get that feedback from people. Some people want us to do an episode on favorite movie of the year so far, least favorite movie of the year so far. Another suggestion was The Bear on Hulu. Everyone should watch The Bear on Hulu because it's so good. It's like this album where it's got a character arc and it ends really well and it bookends itself and it's like, holy shit. 8 episodes on Hulu. So like if you want to do an episode with me on that, I'm talking to you, John Vanderplug, just DM me and we'll talk. And also people want us to do the difference between is it Burger King that has the Impossible Whopper? Yeah. And a regular Whopper. Oh, so, you know, who knows? If the populace demands it, maybe we'll do it.
Hey, everybody. This is Waveframe, where we're talking about music, movies, and burgers.
Boogers. All right. See you guys.
Burger time.